Aitash Green. Great to see you here. Today's an all-age service, and I'm delighted to see a number of children and young people here in the church today. And I know that for many of you, it's been a long time since you've been here in church in person, though you may well have been watching online. So it's really super to see you here today. Welcome also to those of you watching and listening from home. Pray that this service will be a blessing to you as we open up Revelation chapter 3. Today's service is titled Jesus Christ's Open Door. And later on, we will focus on Christians who live in countries where it can be really difficult to follow Jesus today. Countries like Eritrea and Iran are going to be in our focus. A few of the children and young people will be leading us in prayers for Christians who face closed doors and sometimes even prison because of their commitment to Christ. Well, let's prepare our hearts to worship God and to give thanks to Him. A word from Scripture as we begin. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. A moment of quiet as we come before God together. Heavenly Father, we've gathered today at Fordham Church and online to focus on you. We come to put our trust in you afresh. We come to seek you for joy and peace and hope. We open our hearts and minds to you, asking that you feed us from your word today. And may we glorify you through our lives and our words that we speak. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first song is Bless the Lord, O My Soul. I encourage those of you at home to sing out loud. In the church building, we're not permitted to sing, so please worship God in the quiet of your heart as you listen to the song.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul.
Continue in worship and thanksgiving. God, you are all I have. You are faithful and true. Thank you, God. You are the maker. You made the heavens, the earth, the trees, the flowers, the birds. You made me, my family, my friends. You made everyone important to me. Thank you, God. You're my provider. You give me freedom and peace. You give me a hiding place. You give me a rock to stand on. You give me life. Thank you, God. You're my deliverer. You're my strength when I am weak. My refuge when I'm afraid. You're my joy when I'm sad. You're my hope when all is lost. Light amidst the darkness. Thank you, God. I worship you, my God. I raise my hands to you, my King. I shout to you, my Lord. I cry to you, my Savior. I praise you, my Creator. I sing to you, Almighty. Because of who you are, I give you thanks. And we're going to continue in an attitude of prayer as we prepare to say sorry to God for our wrong words and thoughts and actions. The words of the sorry prayer are on page 2 of the service sheet, and they'll appear on the screen as well. A moment of quiet for you to reflect, and then we'll pray together. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image, to the praise and glory of his name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our next hymn is a new song published this year. It's a celebration of Jesus' work of salvation, which was completed when he was crucified. Because Jesus paid the price for our sins, we can boldly approach God. It was finished upon that cross. We're going to declare our belief in God with the words of the Apostles' Creed. These are in the notice sheet and will appear on the screen. Christian people, do you believe and trust in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe and trust in his son, Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Do please sit down. Before we listen to today's Bible reading from Revelation chapter 3, some items of church family news. If you're new to our church and would like to connect in, we have a welcome card which is available on the table at the back there. And amongst other things, that will enable you to receive weekly update emails about activities in our church life. Our annual parochial church meeting, the APCM, is taking place this morning on Zoom. We'll start at 11:30 and we'll end somewhere between 12:30 and 1. Now, I'm sorry it's slightly awkward for you here in the building having to whiz home, but we just have to deal with the parameters and restrictions that we have at the moment. This meeting gives us an opportunity to review the life of our church in 2020, looking at different ministries and our church finances as well. We'll look at the annual report and we'll elect new PCC members and pray together. So when you get home, do make yourself a drink and join in online. If you're a member of the electoral roll, please make it a priority to attend, and all members of the church family are also welcome to join in. The only difference being you won't be able to vote in the elections. The All Saints Club is meeting this afternoon online, 3 p.m. for 4 to 11-year-olds and 4 p.m. for 11 to 15-year-olds. A new church diary is available for May and June. Do pick up a copy from the table over there after the service. And this week, the midweek coffee break will be on Zoom this Wednesday at 10:30. You're welcome to connect in for a chat, and the Zoom link has been emailed to the church family. The community hub and post office will be open over Friday lunchtime at the John Owen Barn, and the care team are available to help you if you have a need or a prayer request. Contact details are in today's notice sheet. As a church, we place a priority on work with children and young people, and we want All Saints Church to be a community where families can grow together in the knowledge and love of God. Please, therefore, would you pray with me for the recruitment of a new youth and children's minister, asking God to provide the right man to lead this ministry from September. This role will be key in developing our ministries to 0 to 18-year-olds, and there are 2 weeks until the application deadline. Today's service will end in the churchyard, where we'll sing a hymn together, and we'll head out through that door and gather on that side of the church building. So today's Bible reading is from the book of Revelation, and Israel Olujimoka is going to come to the front and read chapter 3, verses 7 to 13.
Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 to 13. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars. I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have, so that no one will take your crown. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen.
Israel's just read to us from the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation. Thank you, Israel, for that reading. Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 to 13, Jesus Christ's open door. Well, this is one of seven messages written to seven church congregations in the first century. So some decades after Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and returning back to heaven, ascending to heaven. And it's written to Christians in a city called Philadelphia. On the screen is a map of the Mediterranean Sea, where I'm sure some of you here have been on holiday in the past. And you can see Jerusalem on the right-hand side, the big red dot. And in the middle of the screen at the top are the seven churches that Jesus sent these messages to. And hopefully you can see Philadelphia there amongst them. Today, the city of Philadelphia is known as Al-Sahir. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly, but that's my best attempt, Al-Sahir. And here are two photos on the screen. On the left, we see ruins of the ancient city from Bible times when Jesus sent this message. And then on the right, we can see the town as it is today. Today, it has a population of about 50,000 in the town and a further 50,000 in the wider district. And there are about 45 mosques in the town of Al-Sahir today. This area is now part of the country called Turkey. But back then, it was part of the Roman Empire. Jesus' letter was written to the Christians who lived and met together in Philadelphia. Now, many of you will know that there is today a famous city in America with the same name. And the American Declaration of Independence was signed in the American Philadelphia. But perhaps more importantly, it's also the home of the Philly cheesesteak, which you can see on the screen. But this is a different Philadelphia, not to be confused with the one in the Bible. And really, I just mentioned it as an excuse to show you the picture of the cheesesteak photo. So Jesus' letter to Philadelphia in the Roman Empire was for the church that lived and met there in the city. So this message was specifically for them back then. But I hope that you'll also discover that it's a message for us and for the global church today. I've got 3 points for you. The first two are quite quick, and the third is the longest. And if you have a Bible with you, either a book or perhaps on your phone, it would be helpful to have that bit of the Bible open in front of you. So firstly, Jesus holds the key of David. Jesus is introduced at the beginning of the letter in verse 7. These are the words of him who is holy and true. He holds the key of David. Jesus holds the key of David. And this is important because this message, this letter, is about two different doors. Not literal doors, they're word pictures for us. An open door and a closed door. And Jesus holds a special key to open and close them. Now, there are some doors here in the church, for those of you here in the building. And I wonder if you can count how many doors there are that you can go outside into the church grounds through. So particularly for the children, do you want to count up how many doors there are? And then if you're feeling brave, you can put your hand up and let us know how many you think there are. Anyone want to tell us how many doors there are going outside? Yes, I see a little hand over there. Do you want to say quite loud how many doors you think there are? Three is the final number, thank you. I saw a hand up there as well. Five, okay. Anyone else want to have a go? This is doors going outside into the church grounds, because there is one up in the bell tower there, but you can't get outside through that one. Well, we'll go with three and five. It is, in fact, three, the one you came in through. That door on the other side that we'll go out through later to sing our final hymn. But there's also a sort of slightly secret door here. And this is, in fact, the key to that door. It's a little door, and it's hidden away there. Perhaps it's from when the church was a smaller building, maybe many centuries ago. So Jesus Christ holds a much more important key than this one. He holds the key of David. And this means it's the key of the famous King David from the Old Testament, the king of the Israelite kingdom. And this means that Jesus is in charge of the doorway into God's kingdom, the door that leads to eternal life after we die. Verse 7 tells us, "What he," that's Jesus, "opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open." Jesus is in charge of who comes into God's kingdom. He has the power to open the door. He's in charge of the eternal destiny of all the people in this room here today and all of you listening and watching at home. No one can overrule Jesus' decisions. When Jesus opens something, no one can shut it. When Jesus closes something, no one can open it. So Jesus holds the key of David, the key to God's kingdom. Secondly, Jesus Christ's open door. Please have a look with me at verse 8. Jesus said to the Christians in Philadelphia, "I know your deeds," that is the good things that they've done. "I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." Jesus knew what was going on in Philadelphia in the church, and when he looked at them, he was pleased with them. He had no criticism for them. He praised them because of their good deeds. And Jesus noted that they weren't a strong church. "I know you have little strength," but even in their weakness, they'd been obedient to Jesus' teachings. In the face of pressure to keep quiet about Jesus, they had not denied his name. The Philadelphian Christians remained faithful to Jesus, and he was pleased with them. And he said to them, "See, I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut." The book of Revelation ends with a vision of a new Jerusalem, a heavenly city. Jesus' open door is the door to eternal life in the New Jerusalem. What a wonderful promise he holds before the Philadelphian Christians. And Jesus is giving them this message to encourage them to stay faithful to him, because there's also another door. And this takes me to our third point, the closed synagogue door. Some people were saying that the door to eternal life was closed to the Christians in Philadelphia because they followed Jesus Christ. The door to the Jewish synagogue in Philadelphia was closed to people who kept Jesus' word and followed him. Now, Jesus was Jewish. Most of his first followers were Jewish. And the Apostle Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament, was Jewish. And when Paul traveled around preaching the message of Jesus, he would almost always head to the Jewish synagogue when he arrived in a new town or city. The synagogue was the place where Jewish people would meet to worship each week. And today, Jewish people still meet in synagogues. Synagogues and churches are quite similar. Both the word synagogue and the word in the New Testament for church have the same root meaning. It means to gather together. Paul would go to the synagogue and explain that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah that they'd been waiting for. Jesus was their Savior. And in most places, some Jewish people would believe and start to follow Jesus, while others wouldn't. At the time when Jesus spoke this message that we now have in the book of Revelation, the synagogue in Philadelphia didn't want anything to do with Jesus. The leaders didn't believe that he was the Messiah. So any Jewish person who held to Jesus' teaching and refused to deny Jesus' name was not welcome in the synagogue. The door was closed. Now, this was hard for Jesus' followers. No doubt, members of their families were still part of the synagogue community. Friends were part of the synagogue. Some of their business contacts might have been part of the synagogue, the people who they earned their living through. This would have been hard for them and uncomfortable. They'd been shut out, and Jesus had very strong words for that synagogue in Philadelphia, verse 9. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Strikingly strong words from Jesus. Now, we don't know the exact details of what had happened, but the conflict is about the right way to honor and live for God. Was Jesus really God's messenger and the way to God the Father? Some Jews thought yes, other Jews thought no. Who were God's true people? Was it the Jewish people who believed in Jesus as their Savior Messiah, or the Jewish people who didn't believe in Jesus? Jesus wanted to let the members of the Philadelphian church know that he loved them. Even though they'd been excluded from the synagogue, Jesus loved them, and that's what really counts. And this is why he wrote this letter, to encourage the Philadelphian Christians. The leaders of the Jewish synagogue had closed the door to Jesus' people, but that didn't matter because Jesus held the key of David, not the leaders of the synagogue. Their exclusion didn't matter because Jesus had placed before them an open door that no one can shut. This message from Jesus to the ancient church in Philadelphia is a message today for faithful Christians who are facing exclusion. Christians who hold Jesus' word and don't deny his name. Those who face exclusion because of Jesus, maybe in their family, or amongst friends and people they know, or in their work. Sometimes following Jesus will mean exclusion for us here in Colchester and in Essex. Following Jesus might mean a closed door with your family. Sometimes not denying Jesus will result in people being unfriendly to you in your school or your college. Sometimes keeping Jesus' word will mean earning less money or not making steps forward in your career. It could even mean being forced out of your job. When these things happen, we can be tempted to not keep the bit of Jesus' teaching which is causing the difficulty. Or we can start to keep quiet about being a Christian. This letter to Philadelphia encourages us not to do that, because Jesus holds the key of David, the key to eternal life, and that's what really matters. The greater the discrimination that a Christian faces, the more precious and important the message of Revelation chapter 3 becomes. In a few minutes, we're going to pray for Christians in countries where it can be really difficult to stay faithful to Jesus. Yes, there are difficulties sometimes in being a Christian in England, but it's nothing compared to some countries around the world. But before we pray, Katie Knights is going to introduce a video about a man who went to prison in the country of Eritrea for his faith in Christ. Katie, do come up.
Nice to see you all. In a few moments, we're going to be looking at a video about a man in Eritrea, and that's a country in the northeast of Africa, and it borders Ethiopia. Almost half of Eritreans are Christians, 2.6 million of a population of 5.4 million, but Christians who aren't affiliated to a state-approved denomination can face extreme persecution. There are three state-approved denominations, and if you don't belong to one of these, then you can be thrown into prison and treated rather badly. Christians can be arrested and imprisoned without trial and held in inhumane conditions because of their faith, and their loved ones often don't know where they are or even if they're still alive. There was hope of a peace agreement with Ethiopia, but in 2020, the UN reported that there was no meaningful progress along this, so it's becoming more of a concern. Unlike other countries, women in Eritrea are subjected to bad treatment, and Christian women particularly can undergo very bad treatment and forcibly converted. It's hard to kind of comprehend this persecution when we don't really have this in our own country. So we're going to watch this video now, and I'll show you what we're going to be taking away in a moment.
My name is Paul. Because I am a Christian, I spent over 10 years in prison in Eritrea. I had become a Christian after being depressed for many years. Nothing made me happy, not my job, my money, or doing as I pleased. A colleague who was not a believer suggested that I ask some Christians for help. These Christians taught me that true happiness was not in material things, but through faith in Jesus. So I joined the church. In 2002, the government decided to allow only three types of churches in Eritrea. They closed most other churches and started arresting their members. They eventually arrested all the members of my church too. That day, the commander tried to get us to stop our Christian activities. He asked me, "Aren't you ashamed of belonging to a church that the government does not allow?" "I am not ashamed," I replied. Then he ordered, "His mind has been ruined. Throw him in jail." In prison, we didn't have enough food. We were always dirty. We had almost no medicine. Sometimes I was kept in solitary confinement. Other times, I was with many other Christians in a dungeon. It was extremely hot. If only we signed a paper promising to stop praying, sharing our faith, and meeting with other Christians, we could go home. But we couldn't agree to that because it would be dishonest. Eventually, after many years, some Christians signed the paper and were set free. I too was tempted to give in to the pressure. Why am I still here? Would it be so bad if I signed that paper? But then I remembered that my hope wasn't in material things or in my circumstances, but in Jesus. Remembering the joy that I found in Jesus helped me to stay strong. Just after that, without signing the paper, I was suddenly released. I was so happy, but I soon met new challenges. I don't have a job or money, and I feel like a stranger to my family and friends. It is lonely, but I hold on to the strength I found in prison. The love I receive from Christians all over the world has helped me so much. Even though they don't know me, they prayed for me and helped me while I was in prison and after my release. The persecution would have broken my spirit had it not been for God's care shown through them.
Organisation have got some resources that we've got at the back of the church here, and we've got a pack for each family. It'll come in an envelope like this, and it'll get a map that you can maybe pop up on the wall at home. Number 6 here is Eritrea, and it's got some stickers that you can stick on, and a passport that you can use when you are praying about different areas of the world where Christians face persecution. It's wonderful to hear that God's love and strength can break those barriers, even being in prison. So that's something that we can be mindful of. For the grown-ups in the room, you can maybe take one of these. It gives you various stories of people that have been persecuted because of their faith. Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much, Katie, and I want to encourage you to make use of those resources. They've been very helpful to me and my family in the past, and just widened our vision beyond our situation here in the UK and in Western Europe. Particularly that booklet for adults helps you to pray, will help you to pray for Christians facing difficulties around the world. Jesus' message to the church in Philadelphia shows us that the winners and losers in eternity will look very different to the winners and losers in this life. Jesus is famous for saying in Matthew's Gospel, "Many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." So as I finish, perhaps you face some exclusion for following Jesus now. Perhaps it will happen in the future. If and when it comes, the message of this bit of the Bible is keep Jesus' word. Keep obeying him. Don't deny his name. Own him as your king. And make Jesus' open door to eternal life your focus and your prize. Well, we're going to pray for Christians in a number of countries now, and I'm going to hand over to Rachel Gage.
As we heard in the video clip, Paul very much valued the prayers of those Christians around the world that prayed for him and people in the same situation as him. And our opportunity now is to specifically pray for five countries where Christians are particularly persecuted. These prayers have been supplied by Open Door and slightly adapted. But let's remember the frustrations that we've felt over the last year where we've not been able to sing, we've not been able to fellowship. But this is a reality that has no end for many people around the world. So let's join together now as we pray for some of our brothers and sisters that are knowing great difficulties at the moment. Alice, come over here.
Father God, please protect your people in Eritrea. Convict the hearts of those who persecute them, particularly those who profess to follow Jesus and still persecute his people. You freed Paul and Silas when they were in prison in Philippi. In the same way, we ask that you would free Eritrean Christians from prison. Amen.
Lord, please comfort Christians in Iran who have been imprisoned for their faith. May they remember Jesus' open door, which no one can shut. May they know you closely and hear you speak powerfully to them. Bless Open Door's work in Iran. May it bear fruit and encourage Christians. Please give Iranian believers opportunities to tell others the good news of Jesus' love. Amen.
Lord, thank you that faith is growing in India despite much opposition faced by Christians in public and private life. Please keep them bringing new believers to faith and give strength and resilience to Christians from a Hindu background. Frustrate the plans of Hindu extremists who want to rid the country of other religions and change their hearts of those in power. Amen.
Father God, thank you that you love the people of Iraq. Please bring peace and stability to this country that has suffered cycles of violence for so long. Show Iraqi Christians the truth of their identity in you and give them opportunities to share the good news of Jesus Christ with their families, communities, and friends. Equip them to be the light of hope in the country. Amen.
Lord God, we lift up our brothers and sisters in Nigeria facing extreme violence and other forms of persecution. Comfort those who mourn, we pray, and replace their weeping with joy. Heal their trauma and show them who they are in your eyes. Remind them that Jesus holds the key of David and controls the door to eternal life. Amen.
And Heavenly Father, we pray for the nation of India. We ask for your mercy on them. With the rapid spread of the COVID virus, please be kind and gracious to the people of India. May your church in India be bold as your witness at this time and lead many in the nation to seek your help. Amen. God, our Redeemer, you've delivered us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your Son. Grant that as by his death he has recalled us to life, so by his continual presence in us he may raise us to eternal joy. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. And let's finish our prayers by praying together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Thank you very much for leading us in those prayers today. For those of us here in the building, we're going to move to the churchyard in just a few moments' time, where we can sing out loud and praise God with the hymn, "My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness." Please wait in your seat until a steward directs you to leave. When we're outside, please stand with your family bubble and have a 2-meter distance between you and other family groups. And please take the notice sheet with you so you've got the lyrics for the song. And I look forward to seeing many of you on the Zoom APCM shortly. May God bless your week.